All right, give us your time cards. We're taking those from you now. Good morning, everybody. I'm Jeff Wilkinson, and I'm going to lead off this 4-for-1 presentation. And we're going to talk about certification in Florida and Massachusetts. I'm going to set a little context and then turn this over to my colleagues. There are no financial disclosures to report, and we want to recognize Marianne Banzoff. Where are you? I saw you just there. She is. Marianne participated in putting this presentation together as well. And Brenda Rodriguez from Florida is going to talk in detail about this program. Jackie Toledo will talk about the Massachusetts program along with my colleague Gail Hirsch. So we want to summarize certification initiatives, and I'm going to set a little context for the national scene. Certification is really growing. It's still somewhat controversial. It is part and parcel of a professionalization of the CHW workforce, and the theme in this presentation is that CHW leadership in developing certification programs is critical. Florida and Massachusetts are two states where CHWs have had leadership roles in the design and development of certification programs, and so those programs are distinguished and can mitigate some of the threats of certification that are discussed, and importantly so, in this whole discussion. So we're going to get into some discussion about those threats and concerns. But we wanted to start out by reiterating a theme that has been part of probably every CHW section session at this meeting, that CHWs are historically exploited workforce. Still suffer tremendous challenges in their work and are seeking justice in pay, in benefits, in supervision, training, career pathways, job security. And this is all part of and consistent with the fact that the CHW movement is driven by a justice agenda, justice for CHWs and justice for the communities that CHWs serve and often come from. Communities themselves that whose members tend to be oppressed by structural forces of racism, poverty, political neglect. So the movement for certification is part of the CHW-led effort to raise up this workforce as well as raise up its integration into health and public health systems. But this raises a bunch of questions and concerns. Certainly among them is CHW professional identity, and there's a movement afoot to do identity campaigns, questions about what's the scope of practice, which is a necessary question if we're talking about certification. We have pretty well figured it out, but that doesn't mean the rest of the world knows about the C3 initiative or the 98 National Workforce Study and all the work that's gone on in multiple states. What are the roles and relationships of CHWs with other workforces? And that's something that's being discussed in detail. Lots of models shared in some of these CHW sections. What are the financing models? Where are we going? What happens as we move from fee to service to value-based contracting? What are the opportunities there to sustain CHWs and try to get away from this grant-funded insecurity? And where and to whom do savings accrue based on the effectiveness of CHWs in health systems? Will CHWs be hired? Will they be paid better? Or will this go to the health systems more generally for their overhead, for the physician and other licensed clinician pay for other kinds of expenses? Where do those savings accrue? And we've talked in other sessions about concerns about the medicalization of the CHW role, loss of the or diminution of the advocacy role, which is a core competency for CHWs, limited flexibility in community-based practice. It's important that we understand as we talk about certification that this is something that there's strong consensus on generally among CHWs as well as payers and providers. And certainly in Massachusetts and Florida, CHWs led the way in insisting that certification, with certain features that we're going to be discussing this morning, was critically important for professional development of the workforce and also for hoping to, or to providing opportunities for improved pay and career pathways and support. So CHWs have kind of led the way in calling for this, although that's been controversial within the CHW movement. Payers and providers have also wanted some predictability and standardization of scope of practice, some quality control, if you will, and see certification essentially as a prerequisite for considering financing. Certification is happening. We're kind of at a tipping point. There are a lot of states that are working on certification. Those in green shown on the map have laws and regulations establishing program requirements. In blue, they don't have laws, but they've got state-led training or certification programs. Florida has both. They've got a program in place. They've actually certified CHWs, and they have legislation pending. And in Massachusetts, legislation was passed, and regulations are close to being promulgated. We expect that that will be implemented this year. So without further ado, let me turn this over to Brendley to talk us through the Florida program.
Thank you, Jeff, and members of the panel, and everybody arriving now or staying since the early part of the program. Yes, let me share with you a little bit of our program. We also have our first certified community health worker in Florida, in the South region here, Sonia Joseph, and I just want you to support her and her submission, and she presented on another day at this conference. Well, this is, in Florida, a voluntary certification program. That's one basic tenet. And it has been a partnership between the Florida Department of Health, due to an origin grant from the cancer program, the Florida Certification Board, a non-for-profit separate entity, and the actual Florida Coalition. And with the Florida Certification Board, we have put together a standing advisory board that includes CHWs from the get-go, and as subject matter experts, along with curriculum experts and other servicers. We worked with certification programs with the board because they have had a history in Florida with other peer educators and other level equivalent programs, and have gone through a process already established and is correlates with other states and the military service as well, so it is beyond really Florida. We worked on a role delineation study that included English and Spanish. We had a task force in Spanish, and we say Spanish because that's the second largest language spoken in Florida. We're also looking into our third language, Haitian Creole, but still we wanted to get the process right first with the majority language, the minority language, Spanish first. We had the service came back, and we generated a psychometrically sound, legally defensible scope of service and the exam blueprint. And all this with the advice of CHWs that we received some training from the Florida Certification Board in several face-to-face meetings and webinars throughout the process. And upon work, we zoomed in into core competencies. We clustered them into five performance domains. You see them on the board there: communication and education, resources from the community, advocacy, as we have spoken earlier in the session, foundations of health. That's not for them to know all the medically, of all the diseases and conditions. It's just foundations, the social determinants, and the relationship between, you know, nutrition, physical activity, the general risk. So they are, it's not to take out the role or invade the role of, you know, an accredited diabetes educator, but it's something that for them to know pretty much as basic foundations of health. And of course, because they're members of a team, a professional responsibility, you know, HIPAA and many other related such. Those competency indicators, we are working that into the application and a review of their credentials. And because we wanted to integrate as many as we could from the get-go, developed a grandparenting program that we just extended 6 more months for it. So it started on January the 1st this year, and it's going to run until June the 30th, where no formal education is required, but yes, they have to attest for 500 hours, either volunteer or paid or combination of those, in the last 5 years, and it could be in Florida or elsewhere, as long as it, you get a demonstration of it. 30 hours of specific training, so 20 in the core competencies and 10 in any special, HIV, diabetes, research, whatever other topic as an elective, for a total of 30. And of course, letters of support from supervisors, also personal, and of course they cannot be members of the family, so all of that. So with this, an important thing, code of ethics, the certification, once they're grandparented in, they have to go through renewal, and the full standards come in after certification period is on, where then an exam has to be taken next year onwards. The coalition, we got established in 2011, and we have grown exponentially in the last 5 years to 750. We have education programs, leadership development, as Sonia can attest, is one of our prime examples. A professional partnership, including payers. In our fifth annual summit, we had a panel with insurance payers, and that was the first time that they were all in one table talking about CHWs and integrating how they are integrating them. Work groups that has helped spread the load, the workload on different fronts and bringing money in, because we just got incorporated earlier this year. And again, the work that Jeff mentioned in terms of the legislation, we couldn't wait for the legislation to pass. We just took charge and did the stuff. Now, Massachusetts.
Hi. So just a little bit about the background of the program, and then we'll highlight how community health workers have been involved in building the program. I think that there's been such a strong partnership between the State Health Department and the Massachusetts Association of Community Health Workers that that we decided to move ahead with certification once we were convinced that community health workers wanted it. So it was being seen as an opportunity for community health workers themselves to define their practice. That is, it's not a regulatory process that's being imposed by the State Health Department on community health workers, but is driven by community health workers. And the law was written such that community health workers would have a key important role in shaping the certification process. It was passed in 2010, and it sits at the Division of Health Professions Licensure in the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, which is different from Florida. So anybody who's considering creating a certification program needs to very carefully consider who's going to be the authorizing entity of certification, because there are pros and cons to each. And that's something that somebody seriously should be looking at. Marion and I are going back and forth with it, because there are issues. We don't have certification yet, but we're hoping that we're going to have it soon. Jeff was the chair of the Board of Certification in Massachusetts. The board is appointed by the governor, and Jeff led a very consensus building process to engage community health workers to weigh in on what the core competencies would be. The whole purpose of this, a lot of this Jeff alluded to, it's about defining the profession, defining the scope, engaging people, keeping them engaged. If we didn't have certification ongoing now in Massachusetts, everybody would be back asleep, somewhere doing something else, you know. This is a way, it's an opportunity, if done right, to engage people, to create buy-in, to create consensus, to build collaboration, and to actually have community health worker ownership. Let's see. These are just quickly the provisions of the law. There isn't a lot of time to get into them. I can get into them more in detail with people afterwards, but you can see the law basically requires us both the board to certify individual community health workers, to approve training programs, renewals of all of those things, mechanisms for CEUs, all of that sort of thing. This is pretty much speaks for itself, and it's really going to be illustrated in detail in this last slide that I'm speaking to, which is the actual nuts and bolts of how community health workers have been involved with this from before its inception. And we've been working on this in Massachusetts for close to 15 years and did not move forward with it until people, that is people, community health worker people, wanted it to go forward. MOCHWA worked very closely with the state health department to include a provision in our health reform law that they then lobbied for and won. And then one of the recommendations from that law was to create certification process. The state health department is very actively with resources supporting MOCHWA to get community health worker input to the whole process. So I think I need to wrap up there because we don't have a lot of time left.
We're going to go into hyperdrive now. See if you can. Did you catch all that I just said? So certification, as I mentioned, is controversial in various quarters. There's different understandings of what it means. The concerns about potential adverse effects have been raised. And among the most important are, will this pose barriers to entry to the workforce for the very people who are CHWs and make CHWs so effective? So is this going to be voluntary or mandatory? Will there be restrictive standards for educational credentials? Will we require English language proficiency? Will we require prohibitive training requirements or work experience? Will people be able to count work experience outside the United States, et cetera? A bunch of questions. A second category of concern is diminishing the CHW workforce effectiveness inadvertently through distorting who a CHW is. This is create attractive career paths for people who don't share life experience and have unique understandings of vulnerable communities that they serve. Does this over-medicalize or diminish flexibility in practice? And there's a kind of a separate but related concern about would there be two classes of CHWs created, those who are certified and hopefully get paid accordingly and supported accordingly, and those who don't get certified. And these are real and present issues. Let's hear about how these states have dealt with some of these concerns.
So in lessons learned, and let's share very, very quickly, well, you need like a grandparenting program. You need to work on the application process, on how inclusive that is, working in groups and integration of several stakeholders. So basically that's in summary that slide. Massachusetts? You guys.
Yeah, okay.
I'm feeding on salad. Feeding on salad.
So this is the bulk of what MOCHWA is currently working on.
This is kind of the bulk of the work that MOCHWA is currently working on, and that's going to be once the regulations become operational, there are going to be two pathways where applicants can choose, and one is work experience only. Which includes 4,000 hours, equivalent to about 2 years of full-time work, over a 10-year look-back period. Is that right, Gail? 2 years, 4,000? Okay. During this three-year grandparenting period, which is going to disappear after 3 years of the once this space becomes operational. And sort of the second one here, which is training plus work experience, will become more of the permanent pathway. And we are recognizing voluntary and part-time work experience. There is going to be flexibility from the training program approval standards. No minimum ed requirements, English proficiency not required. The competency-based application requires three references, one which at least has to be from a current or previous supervisor. I'm not going to have time to read the rest of the slides. No testing required. MACHWA is currently working in partnership with the Mass Department of Public Health, our members, our advisory board, to make sure that CHWs review this application and that it makes sense, it's practical, and it doesn't create yet more barriers to the intent of this legislation. And so there's also the fee that Gail mentioned, and that hasn't been yet determined in the COVID release. Thank you.
So we're going to wrap up with lessons learned, and just to say that certification does not create the challenges that people are concerned about. This is endemic to, or this part and parcel of professionalization. So well-designed programs can mitigate the problem or the concerns about barriers to entrance. We're going to need continued struggle. We have to be vigilant. We have to design these programs carefully. There are a lot of allies and forces that can help us. CHW leadership is critical at every step. Certification should be voluntary and competency-based. And it is something that if CHWs lead, both in the regulatory and legislative sphere, we can make these programs work. There's no guarantee that certification is going to lead to the benefits that CHWs hope, and I think we've seen that in some states. So this is not the only way that that the CHW workforce is going to advance, but it's an important strategy, and it's probably a prerequisite for payment through various means. So the CHW section here has been leading the way nationally. There's a lot of work to do, and we hope this has been useful, and we look forward to the discussion. Thanks.